Right now, let's follow the markets on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Tom Fortino is the founder and principal at the Alpha Wealth Group. He's also the co-host of This Week in Wealth with Elise Glink. That's Sundays on WGN Radio at 6:30. Last I saw, you have the markets in front of you, Tom. 600, 700 we've been up today, right?
Yeah. Yeah, incredible. Yeah, it's been incredible. Yeah, great day across the board. NASDAQ, S&P, and the Dow, both up 2% or more.
Imagine if Amazon had had a good day, too. What's going on here? What's the reason for all this?
Well, I mean, part of it is certainly this morning there were some good reads. I mean, Chevron, Exxon came out, you know, and then, of course, Apple's come out with some good numbers. I mean, you could get buried in this data. This week has been, you know, your head's got to be on a swivel as far as that goes. And GDP comes out, then they had the PCE indicators. Personal consumption expenditures, which is what the Fed looks at, as opposed to the CPI, 5.1. And then there's been these rumblings and that the Fed's going to reduce rates. And so just so much. And you have to be careful. You can, again, get buried in all this. You just kind of got to stick to your guns, stick to your plan. Mm-hmm. And this market, as we know, has been up and down. It was down 25%, you know, earlier this month. You know, it's rallied
quite a bit. From an investment standpoint, the GDP numbers were surprisingly good, but maybe not based in the sort of things that we would like to think. That is, the long view of these numbers is that the economy is still slowing, which weirdly might be exactly what we want to happen. Would you agree with that?
Weirdly, I guess, is a good way to put it, John. I mean, it's like we're on this demand destruction, right? We've got to try to do something about housing. We've got to do something about, you know, it's economics 101, the supply and demand curve. I think, you know, most of us who went to class, that was the first day, right? Okay, here's demand, here's supply. I'm more on the side of why don't we increase supply instead of trying to destroy demand? But that's where we're at. I don't think there's much effort. But again, to your point, you know, exports, especially oil and gas, played a big role in the GDP. Whereas investments, specifically housing, residential investment, and all that was down. So it's just really a mixed bag. But there's just a lot that we have to keep in mind. The Fed's PCE target is 2, and it's a 5.1. So are they going to continue this? And what's going to happen with this market? And then we've got the whole issue with the jobs. I mean, there's just so much that I think there's still a lot to deal with.
Let's pause here for just a second. There's a couple things I still want to get to, and one is what's your expectation for the December Fed move? How many basis points are you thinking, to say nothing of November? Tom, do you have a feel for 75 basis points in November and maybe 50 in December? What do you think?
Well, I think the 75 is a foregone conclusion, so that's going to happen. And then, you know, they're talking about 50. I think, you know, some have even said it was intentionally, I don't know if you might use the term leaked, but it was put out there that they're going to do 50. And that's been some of the reason behind the market. So likely we're looking at a 75 and a 50 over the course of next, you know, for the November and the December.
And what do you think of that? Is that we can't go back in time. So what about that as the next two steps? What do you think of those?
Well, I think it's been priced into the market. So if that makes people feel better, I mean, it's anticipated. And so you would say if it happens, it's not going to be a shock to the market. That's on the positive side. I think on the negative side, though, you know, it's just the overall economy, you know, what we're dealing with going forward as far as the house, as we talk about with the housing market. A lot of this stuff is lag, right? It hasn't kind of worked through the system. It's just like when you look at inflation, if you go back to 79, we go back, it's crazy. It's been that long ago since we had to deal with these high inflations, but there's a lag to it. Even when you had, you know, with Volcker and then Reagan came in 80, it took three years or so for that, for the rates to get back down to something that was reasonable. So, you know, there's still some things that need to be worked out here.
Heather Cox Richardson today wrote, the primary tool the Fed uses is interest rates. That's how they do the things they do. But those adjustments are very blunt instruments. And those people interested in continuing growth are always worried the Fed will raise interest rates too much, too fast, throwing the economy into reverse, trying to figure out exactly how to adjust the economy so inflation slows, but unemployment doesn't, seems to be rather like trying to catch an egg on a plate, as the saying goes. Yeah, no kidding. That strikes me as an apt description of the balancing act. You don't want to crack it, but you need to do something dramatic here. What do you think, Tom? If the markets are going up a little bit now, maybe anticipating 50 basis points in December, whatever, but do you think that the markets will continue to improve after the first of the year? That is, if we probably hit our lows on these indices, or do you think it's still got a more downward trajectory after the first of the year?
Well, it's, you know, the first answer is that no one can ever predict the market. And that's why we always have to be so careful. And I was making the comment before, we see the market going back up and these discussions, have we hit our lows yet? And then we should enter and re-enter, get out of the market. And sometimes we can be our own worst enemy. And so we just have to be very careful. As I said, I think there's some more bad news that is going to come down the pike. So you want to, you know, again, and it also depends. Look, if I'm 10, 12 years out from retirement, that's okay. I'm, you know, studies have shown even when over the 12 years, the S&P was flat, if you were doing systematic contributions to a 401k, you were still up over 5% a year because you're dollar cost averaging. For those that, you know, you have to be a little more careful in this market if you're nearing retirement or so, you know, maybe you want to back off a little bit. You don't want to abandon equities, but you have to be careful with any of these moves. You know, it's the old, we have so much information and then we make big moves. That can be detrimental. So I'm just saying, for the average investor, I would be a little careful. I'm more on the side still of being defensive in this market. You know, dividend paying stocks, you can still have some, you know, that's still in the market. Still have some other growth, but higher growth types of things, just buying quality stocks, but just be careful.
Are you telling people who are investing regularly in their investments to put the money in something other than equities, cash, or some of these bonds and T-bills that everybody's excited about these days?
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to mention, you know, what's interesting is there are some things, and I'm just, again, trying to get some yield. For example, for those that you could go and open up a Fidelity or TD account, brokered CDs, right? You can get, and again, these are just general numbers. They change all the time, but depending on the interest rates, but you could get a one-year brokered CD and you can get 4% or more.
Yeah.
You can ladder them. So that's an opportunity to get some nice yield.
And Terry Savage talks about this a lot. You need to be aware of what your cash needs are because there's a penalty if you pull some of these out after a year, 5 years, et cetera. But if you're talking about intermediate investing, that seems to be 4% isn't a bad number these days.
No, it's not. And if you look at it based on, you know, like a lot of these bond index, the aggregate bond index is down double digits. If you want to try to minimize some of the interest rate risk, you can, as I said, and it's really easy through these brokerage firms. Again, you can open up an account on Fidelity or TD in 10 minutes. You can go online. They have it's set up really easily where you could do a 3, a 6, a 9, and a 12-month CD. And then every 3 months, one of them is maturing. And then you can purchase if the rates go up, you know, so you're trying to minimize some of that. But these are ways to say, hey, can I get maybe 3, 4% or more while I'm sitting in, you know, as opposed to being in cash. So there's ways to try to get something back in a while in this type of market. There's other strategies too, but I would take a look at brokered CDs.
AlphaWealthGroup.com is the website for Tom Fortino. He's the founder and principal at the Alpha Wealth Group. He and Elise Glink have a nice chat every Sunday morning. A lot of folks listen to this Sunday mornings at 6:30 here on WGN. Tom, we'll tune in then. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks a lot, John. You take care.
Ray Stout is the executive director of the Illinois Craft Brewers Guild. You know how you hear about these beers, wines, whiskeys that are double gold or best in class? They have competitions, and we've got one coming up in Illinois for beer. And Ray, I guess you are the folks in charge of this. Is that right?
Yeah, this is run by the Illinois Craft Brewers Guild, and I'm the executive director. And what's really, really cool about this one, it's a milestone event for us. And so it's our 20th anniversary. So Illinois was pretty early adopters in the craft beer and also the barrel aging beer movement. And so we're excited to celebrate 20 years this year.
A couple hundred beers are going to be 150 craft brews, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're expecting more than 200 breweries. With 350 samples of beer to try. And so there's going to be plenty of options for people.
So then judges, they're not going to try 300 beers, are they?
they switch off, and they take very, very small sips, much akin to wine, where they swish and spit on the judging side.
Oh, really? But then, and I was looking at the categories, like you have porter and stout, lagers, fruity beers, et cetera. Will it be the same judges for all those categories?
Yeah, the judges cycle through all the categories of beer. And so there's 12 different styles of beer being showcased at this event, all the way from strong stouts and porters, which you mentioned, all the way down to cider, mead, and perry, all of which are aged in barrels, much like wine. So they take on very interesting and amazing characteristics to the beer.
So is this a specific kind of group of beers then? It's beer that's aged in a barrel that's different maybe than the other kinds of beer?
That's exactly right. And so all of these beers come out of the fermenter just like any other style of beer. But what the brewer then does is put them in a barrel to age anywhere between a couple of months to a couple of years. And what happens in the barrel, it picks up a lot of the notes from the spirits that were previously in these barrels. So, you know, they could be whiskey barrels or gin barrels or tequila barrels or even wine barrels. And so all of those notes come to play. And so while you have a base of a stout or a porter or a lager, which is everybody's familiar with, it takes on all these delicious characteristics from the aging process in the barrel to even enhance the experience more.
Do they bring it in barrels or do they bring it in cans? How do they show up with all of these beers?
So they take the beer out of the barrels and put them in traditional kegs, which you would see, you know, around town.
Yeah, sure. So when and where is this event? It's next weekend for the 4th and 5th, right?
Yeah, no, it's coming right up. So on Friday, November 4th, we have a session from 6 to 10. And on Saturday, November 5th, we have a session from 1 to 5 p.m. And this is all at the Credit Union One Arena at the University of Illinois Chicago on the west side at 525 South Racine.
Yeah, I know where that is. So is it open to the public? And what would I do if I was there? I'm not going to get to taste it, am I?
No, absolutely. And so this is open to the public. Tickets are on sale at fullbab.com. We're expecting about 5,000 folks to come through over the course of the two sessions. And, you know, just as the judges do, you have a choice to sample from over 350 beers as your heart desires.
Are there, you know, everybody's all about the IPAs these days, or say just the big macro blonde beers. How would these beers relate to those more mainstream beers?
So, that's a great question. So all of these beers start as something like that. But what you get from the barrel aging process, they tend to be higher in alcoholic volume, so they tend to be stronger, and they tend to have a lot deeper and richer notes to them. So it's much more like a wine experience. So it's a really cool thing if you haven't tried barrel aged beer before, or if you are a connoisseur, there's something for everybody there.
Do you serve food at this? Is it one of those sorts of things?
Yeah, there's food available. There's also lower alcoholic ABV beer available for folks who want to take a break from the traditionally higher alcohol beer.
I was wondering if that's we've talked to some folks that brew NA or low alcohol beer. In fact, there's a tap house. There's a brew pub that's opening up in Chicago it's in Naperville, actually, that is exclusively no alcohol or low alcohol beer. Will those kinds of beers be in this competition as well?
No, so no low alcohol or no alcohol beer this year. The brewery you're referencing is Go Brewing. They're a member of ours, and there's a big push in the beer movement to kind of step away from those higher alcohol beers, which we've been seeing, to find lower alcohol beers so you can enjoy it at home and still wake up and make it to work the next day.
What do you make of that? I mean, does the industry embrace that trend?
You know, the industry embraces all sorts of different trends, and that's what makes craft beer so interesting and so unique, is because craft brewers are always making and trying different variations and different styles. And, you know, it's not just the same old, same old. So you go to a brewery, you know, two times over the course of the month, and you could have two completely different experiences even at the same brewery.
It sounds like fun. Ray Stout is the executive director of the Illinois Craft Brewers Guild, and you can find out more at illinoisbeer.org or FOBAB, that's FOBAB.com. Wow. Ray, good luck. I want to go.
We'll see you there.
Have a good time. That's Ray Stout. Okay, more business news on the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Several big companies in Chicago have filed front-of-the-court briefs with the U.S. Supreme Court, backing affirmative action ahead of the High Court's arguments next week involving Harvard and the University of North Carolina. Crane says United Airlines, Illinois Tool Works, and Walgreens Boots Alliance joined other corporations and universities in the front-of-the-court brief. The companies say the government's interest in promoting student body diversity remains compelling from a business perspective. University of Chicago joined a brief by other universities. The Supreme Court will decide if affirmative action violates federal civil rights law. Attorneys general from several states, including Illinois, are reviewing the proposed purchase of Albertsons by Kroger. Albertsons owns Jewel Osco and Kroger owns Mariano's in the Chicago area. Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul and the other AGs have sent a letter to the CEOs of both companies that says they're reviewing the merger to ensure it doesn't result in higher prices for consumers, depressed wages for workers, or other antitrust issues. According to Cranes, Albertsons has responded that the deal will provide significant benefits for customers and employees. Experts say the merger will lead to government antitrust scrutiny. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
And now the business of food. Here's Steve Alexander.
Thank you. It's a Mr. Fizz Friday, and let's get Mr. Fizz on the line.
Hello, Steve.
Hi, Jim. Hang on while I thank the Chevy Silverado HD for sponsoring us today. Experience your life in HD. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. Okay, Jim, take it away.
This is the end.
Oops, wrong Jim. But this is the end, isn't it, Jim Fizzell?
Yeah, we're getting to the end here. We'll probably finalize the garden year today, and it's about time. You know, November can be pretty nasty suddenly. Sometimes you can have beautiful weather a few days, and all of a sudden it's winter. So we need to be ready. First of all, get outdoors this weekend. It's going to be 70 degrees. Head for a community market, a roadside market, or pumpkin farm, because most of them are going to close after Halloween, and if you're going to stock up, this is the time to do it. When you get home, mow the grass, edge along the walks, the curbs, around the beds, and around the trees, collect the leaves. Compost them or shred them into the lawn. One thing you need to do is install screens along the walks and drives to keep out salt as you're snow blowing the sidewalk and so forth. Staple burlap to stakes. That works very well. Same thing with evergreens. Bundle those up that are exposed to heavy snow so the snow doesn't fall on them and break them open. Finish pulling up your spent annuals, your garden plants, and cut off the tops of perennials. Then pick the last of the tomatoes, peppers, and tender things. Carrots, any of the coals like broccoli or collards can go till they freeze up. Parsnips, beets, and so forth will last until December. Still time to plant bulbs, peonies, and trees and shrubs in case you're interested in doing that and even putting down sod. You want to collect the garden tools. Wash off the mud, sharpen the hose, shovels, and spades, and wipe the metal parts with an oily rag. Roll up your hoses and store them where they're not going to freeze. After the last mowing, winterize your mower. Replace the filters, put a new spark plug in so it'll be ready for next spring, and then check out the snowblower. Make sure it runs. Any repairs can be done now before the shops get too busy. You need to locate and check out your snow shovels to make sure they're still going to work. Sometimes they've been left out and somebody ran over the handle of them, so you need to check those out. You're going to need them, too.
Looking forward to that. Thanks, Mr. Fizz. More This Is the End stuff with Jim next week. From the farm to your belly, today is National Chocolate Day. It's also National Breadstick Day. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
We like to check around on businesses and hotels and restaurants in Chicagoland. A lot of times in the city. This time we'll head out to one of the suburbs with Imran Juvani, who is the director of operations for Charleston Hotels. Or is it Charlestown? Imran, how do I say that?
It is Charlestown Hotels, sir.
Which is how it looks, T-O-W-N-E, hotels.com. Tell us about this place in Homewood Flossmoor.
So we have been tapped to manage a great little place called Le Voûte Bistro and a adjoining hotel called Le Banque. So it's an 18-room hotel, boutique hotel, with a 99-seat French bistro. And it's all within an old bank, the old Homewood Bank that the owner had taken in 2015 and remodeled to turn into a hotel and a restaurant, complete with a vault with J. Edgar Hoover's signature on it.
It seemed like boutique hotels were all the rage for a while. Have they come and gone? Did the pandemic affect them? What about that niche in the business?
You know, boutique hotels will always be there. What Charlestown does is we specialize in the boutique hotel itself being a brand. What we've seen is this consolidation where the big guys, IHG, Marriott, Hilton, they're buying the boutique hotel companies, whereas we are managing the true ideal boutique hotel where you can still get that specialized service, still come in, enjoy a stay, and feel like you're in someone's home rather than, oh, I'm collecting points or I'm just a dollar. And with this property, you really add kind of the luxury of this great restaurant that we've just somewhat soft rebranded, adding this Midwestern fare to French essence there.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because when I think of these places, and I have stayed at some in the U.S., it reminds me of kind of a European feel, or at least with better air conditioning. Is that something that they aspire to?
Yes, always. So you always want to aspire, when you're looking at a boutique hotel, how is the experience for the guest? Is it personalized? Is it just something that you feel like you've stepped away from the normal humdrum that is life, right? And then when you give them that food aspect of it, how is the food? Is the quality of the food? How's the service from that aspect of it? Are we looking at every detail from top to bottom? And that's something Charlestown and Le Voûte and Le Banque in itself specialize in.
Yeah, Le Voûte, that's the farm-to-table concept restaurant. So talk to me about the menu there. Midwestern, what does that mean?
So Midwestern fare, you're looking at, you know, the meats, the cheeses from Wisconsin, the local produce that we can get from. We're working with farmers from Northwest Indiana. We're working with local farmers kind of in the Illinois area. And then what we're looking at also is the French essence, right? The butter, the garlic, that nice creamy texture, that old school style of preparing, you know. We have some fun items on the menu. And the one thing I always recommend to everyone is the burger. Have to have the burger.
Well, is the market locals who are looking for a weekend getaway? Is it the business traveler? Who's the audience?
So we've tried to take Le Voûte, which used to be kind of more of a special event restaurant, and make it approachable on a day-to-day, right? So we've taken the menu and given it items from anywhere from $18 to $45, depending on what you want to spend. We have a secret Bar Bites menu. You have to come to hear about it on Fridays and Saturdays. We've recrafted the cocktail menu to be approachable and not as expensive. You're not paying $18 or $16. You know, there's different tiers for everybody. And what we try to do is we want to bring everyone in. I mean, we're only 30 minutes from Chicago, right? Downtown Chicago. And we'll give you an experience that is similar to that of any restaurant that's in the city. You'll have a great time with us.
Imran Juvani is the director of operations for Charlestown Hotels. If I want to book a room or find out more, should I just go to charlestownhotels.com?
Each of our properties have their own website. So if you want to book a room at Le Banque, it's lebanquehotel.com, L-A-B-A-N-Q-U-E, hotel.com. If you'd like to dine at Le Voûte, it's levoutebistro.com, L-A-V-O-U-T-E, bistro.com.
Nice to talk to you, Imran. Sounds intriguing. Sounds delicious. Thanks for giving us an update.
Thank you so much. Love to have you come join us someday.